let's introduce ourselves down the line here, please.
I'm Tom Hano.
Drew Osborne.
Keller Hill.
Judy Sykes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, so this is kind of catching everybody up to speed. Is that correct?
Yes.
You know, hoping to move forward and at some point get to a public hearing. Paul has not really had an opportunity to go over a lot of this stuff yet, I think. But I believe by February, you should be pretty much up to speed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've already begun, so that I've walked the site with Brandy.
Okay.
I will probably visit it one other time. I familiarize myself with the documents thus far that have been submitted by the applicant, and I'll start developing some ideas, comments, concerns sometime this week, and hopefully get something to the planning board next week. And in the meantime, I know the applicant has asked if they can speak directly with me. I won't hold anything from the planning board. They will know anything that I have asked or they have responded. I'll let you know that what I've asked, what I might have as a concern, and their response, if they already have a response, because they may respond to you at the next planning board meeting. But we'll keep everything open and above board, and you'll know where my concerns lie.
Yep, and this was all discussed in the meeting with Brian and the mayor.
Yes.
And with Rob, and with the code enforcement officer, and
it was Brian Spanker knew that day.
I mean, he had everything. So yeah, I think that's a good thing. If you two keep the lines open, and you will keep us.
You will be copied on everything.
Okay. I had a couple questions when we were at the meeting. The one that kind of concerned me is the parking, as far as having a lease situation.
Will be leased, will be purchased.
You're going to purchase it?
Yeah.
And will the closing be prior to?
It will be prior to the February meeting.
Okay.
The contract signing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the lease just, that scared me.
Yeah.
No, no lease.
All right.
That was never on the table.
That was my mistake. I found out after talking to them later that it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Paul, you're going to go over then the parking issues. You're going to go over the traffic issues.
Yes.
You're going to go over any environmental issues.
Yes.
What else are we looking for from an engineer?
Noise.
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 Absolutely.
What else? I mean, I think they were the big ones.
Yeah.
We're also, to be clear, we're not asking for any variance on noise.
Mm-hmm. We just want to be sure that what you guys are doing is going to, actually be a noise abatement thing.
Yep.
I know what it's like to have my space violated by noise from a neighboring property where you can't watch a baseball game. Mm-hmm. So, we're not going to allow that to happen. What do you guys have?
Well, so at the meeting last week, just in discussing sort of what application materials have been submitted thus far and going over kind of where we are currently with Mr. McCurry, I had mentioned that we had submitted a short environmental assessment form. One thing that would be very helpful for us is to understand kind of what any remaining open issues are, and I think you ticked down through the parking, the traffic, and the noise as sort of the primary things. It was Paul's suggestion that we complete a full environmental assessment form, see if that floats anything else to the surface as a potential issue. Make sure you guys are doing your due diligence and taking a hard look at any other potential issues. So I did prepare that. I'm happy to step us through it tonight if you want to go through it item by item and see if there are any other issues that get raised by the board that we need to then work with Paul on, or I can just leave it with you and you can review it on your own time and leave a copy with Paul and he can get back to me and see if there's anything else.
I don't know how the rest of the board feels about it, but I think it would be from my standpoint anyway, it would be best for Paul to go through it and then give us his assessment, you know, at the February meeting. Anybody else have any questions on that?
I'm just so I understand the process. Because before you arrived, there were several meetings here.
Sure.
And there was lots of things discussed. So how does that information, from the board's point of view, get to you? I know you're meeting with the applicant.
If I recall correctly, your meeting minutes are on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So I will refresh myself with what has transpired. If that isn't enough, I'll post a question to the chairperson and the applicant so that I can get that information. Because what I would like to do with regard to your analysis for environmental concerns is to point out what has been submitted by the applicant and any discussions that you all have had with regard to that particular topic. That way, one not only demonstrates what the board has looked at and can potentially refresh some memory in terms of, oh yeah, we did talk about that and this was the potential solution, and then is that solution still realistic?
So the process for the February meeting is what? So there's no chance we're getting a public hearing for February?
I would prefer not to. I would prefer that at the February meeting, we really go through the nuts and bolts of this again with, you know, Paul and Brady and you guys, so that we have an understanding of exactly where we are with all of our issues, and then go into a public hearing.
Yeah, I think that, listen, we want everyone to be comfortable with the process. The just to say, the stress point for us is, in our experience, preliminary planning approval processes should be in advance of like construction documents, right? We're gonna start paying engineers a lot of money to fine tune our project. And starting in February, we are gonna be at risk of being ahead of that process. So there's just, I think, two things I'd like to just talk maybe today, since we have a little bit of time, is just the difference between things that you're reviewing that would be part of a permit review process versus things that are part of the preliminary planning process. So there are secret things that have to do with traffic and light and environmental, and then there are things that have to do with like the SDC rating of the building to confirm we're gonna, you know, be noise compliant. Like, I want to make sure that we're not getting in a catch-22 of saying we're going to meet requirements and then not being able to get approved before we can approve that via the drawings. And I'm not clear on how to avoid that scenario right now, if I've stated my concern.
Yeah, I understand. There's certainly no way to completely alleviate any of that, because things will happen inside that building that really, you know, the planning board has no control over. That's really with the building department, code enforcement, etc.
Yes.
So those are relatively distinct pieces. Beyond that, I mean, I think you still have some coordination to do with Jamie Malcolm, DEC, or how does, you know, what, just because of the modifications that need to be done at your site with regard to water supply, I don't know if there's anything that needs to be addressed there. I remember you saying you touched base with Jamie Malcolm, but his particular response, I don't know the details of.
The only thing that he has said, and again, this is sort of to Alex's point, that we wouldn't start getting into the details of that until we were further along in the process, is that because the estimated water demand is over 2,500 gallons per day, the village will have to undertake a modification to their speedies permit to have the user come online. And that's a process that we typically work with communities on, you know, in the construction phase, because obviously that
absolutely
increased demand is in it. But so we've acknowledged that.
But he's and I only say that because he is the key element in that.
Yeah.
Which is outside of any of our controls.
Right, right. But that would be like a condition of the permit approval. This board would condition our approval, you know, probably either issuance of a building permit or issuance of a CO. That's a really common condition that you've ascertained that amendment.
That was one of the finities that I didn't know how the board was, you know, the board and the village were dealing with that.
Maybe it would be helpful then for us to make sure, I know I sent you copies of everything we've submitted thus far. There may be some email communications that have gone around that were not, they weren't part of a submission package to this board.
Sure.
But maybe like, you know, the chairman, Rob, myself, and Alex were on an email. I should just check to see if there are any of those.
That'd be fantastic.
We did do a coordinated review under SEAKER. So there was a early identification of potential interested and involved agencies, and there was a circulation. And the board, you know, moved forward as lead agency after receiving acknowledgement from.
No one jumped up and said, "We'll take that," huh?
So you know, to that extent, agencies are aware that this project is in place.
So in February, hopefully in advance of the meeting, we're going to have some series of questions from the board and the engineer to answer, and then those hopefully will be given back to you before the meeting. So at the meeting, or is it a simple, assuming the questions are answered satisfactorily prior to the meeting, are we reviewing those questions altogether, or is it you guys are just assembling to vote on the public hearing? Like, is there a,
I think at February, as long as we get the information that we're looking for on the items that we brought up, I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't go forward.
Okay.
But I think just by having a, I mean, and the board can disagree with me if they want to, but I just think by having a meeting before we've really heard from Paul on all the things that we're looking for just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. I'm also just trying to make sure I know how much we need to prep for a February meeting versus prepping for just answering all the questions via email. Obviously, as you know, we come with our big projector. We like making sure we're available for all questions. It sounds like it's not really going to be a Q&A that meeting. We'll save that for hopefully the March meeting. And February, hopefully we have written correspondence. I'm fine either way. I'm just asking.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah, normally, to jump in, you know, Paul will issue his comment letter, Randy will have an opportunity to respond to it, and at that point you'll know the roadmap.
Okay.
If traffic's an impasse, if noise is an impasse, or there's not an agreement as to those theories, then we'll review those that night, usually either by going through Paul's comment letter and or Randy's responses to it at the next meeting, and then the board says, we're good with it, we want more of it, we want you to do something different, you know, whatever the case may be. But the goal of that meeting is to hopefully, Paul making his comments, Brandy responding, everything's complete in a package that's presentable to the public, and they could set up for a public hearing at the next meeting. Without, I mean, if we had a public hearing starting, because we did talk, maybe we start the public hearing, but the problem is someone comes in and they say, yeah, the parking's never going to work. Well, we haven't analyzed it enough and confirmed enough to tell them, no, you're incorrect because of this. I know that you could do that at this point, but for the planning board to do that, that's kind of where we want to be.
Yep.
Or if an issue is identified, he gives you time between the next meeting and the following meeting to address that issue, whatever it may be.
Great. And you think in the next 2 weeks we should have a pretty comprehensive list of questions?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring up, and I really appreciate your comment about your hiring consultants to do working drawings, and that is very expensive. I don't want to harp on the noise issue, but it's an excellent example of, I think, things we didn't know yet. So, are the windows operable? Are the windows have to meet the start standards? How do we get that information without having engineering drawings?
So that's a great thing to, if we could spend 2 minutes on it. And this is what my kind of perfect example of my confusion about the process. We're not asking for a noise variance, right? We are asking for We are assuming that we have a brick building that's a 4 brick width wide, and we are doing operable historic windows with a storm window on the inside. We're going to commit to not violating the noise variance. What I'm confused about is how this process doesn't end up in a similar where we are today, where it's like in the permit process or sometime after the preliminary approval process, we need to prove to you that we're actually, I don't know how drawings will prove to you outside of what we've done with the noise study that we're gonna not violate the noise. Because I could have open windows all day, and I'm saying I'm not gonna violate the noise ordinance, which means I'm not gonna play music outside of operation hours, right? So it's an I guess I'm just confused at how we're gonna solve operational questions in this process per that example you listed. I just don't know. And I'm worried that we're gonna get in a back and forth for the next 5 months on this. And we really plan to be respectful to the village. I don't know how that gets answered technically.
And it's confusing for us as well.
Yes.
Because our decision has to be justified. Because the public needs to know how the board gets to make the decision. So I don't know how this gets answered, but in events where there's dancing and the windows are operable, they will get open. And then the music gets louder. But you're saying you'll close it down? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how
so
that
there's,
gets
there's
addressed.
There's storm windows, but
the storm windows are not operable for the most part.
Yeah, they're not. The storm windows are not operable. But let's say they were, because I do think this is the crux of it. I'm not sure how to say this properly, but we're getting hung up on, like, we have to follow the laws. And you're saying, well, how do we know you're going to follow the law? There's a putative process in the village, fines, closing down, permit, like removal, whatever it is, if we break the law. So what has confused me about how we got here today a little bit is we're asking all these questions about how to ensure we follow the laws when that doesn't seem to be the point of this process. Especially with the noise, and we did this noise study as a courtesy, really to make sure we weren't going to put ourselves in a position to break the laws inadvertently. And we now feel comfortable with that. We're happy to have an engineer review, but the linear, like the following the logic to its conclusion, we're going to get circular every time we talk about this, because we're never going to be able to prove to you we're not going to break the law until we don't break the law.
Yes, it's not exactly that white.
Maybe I can help. and to keep with the sound thing.
Yes.
If your study has assumed that windows are closed, well, then you've already put your own qualification on that. That means windows are closed.
Our study, which
no, I'm just saying there's the example.
But our study, and let us know if you agree, in the current condition of the building, we will not be violating noise ordinances with the legal level to blast music in the space. So assuming we keep our speakers below the point of pain, which I forget what it is, it's like 95 or 100 dBi, something like that, we are already not violating the noise ordinance. And I think, like, there's two ways to streamline this particular conversation. Like, we are going to commit to not play music above a certain dBi inside, right? Which to me is as loud as we're legally allowed to. We can be a little less if we have to, I just would rather not. And we're gonna commit to not breaking the law and not violating the noise ordinances. So I would think that, to your point, as long as you agree with the data, and you know, once again, we hired a third-party acoustic engineer to do this reading, there's nothing suspicious there, that should be enough. And I guess why we were a little surprised about this line of logic is because we thought the test proved we don't even need to go down this road because the existing condition is already fine. But I think I'll be curious to see if
Well, yeah.
Wishful thinking or not.
Obviously, if I agree, the board is going to know that.
Yes.
That, you know, this is a scientific analysis.
Yeah.
And that analysis has shown there will not be any exceedance of the current standard for noise.
Yeah. Or there, I guess you would say there should not be, unless we're like egregious with, you know,
something foolish happened. Yes. You know, it could have been a something out of your control or something in your control.
Yes, and that's what I would just hope the process doesn't hold us up on, is like something foolish or like the what if scenario gets to extreme where the assumption has to be we're psychotic or criminals.
Or to your example, someone just opens up the doors, all the doors in the entryway, and just blasts music out the door. I mean, like, anything could happen. There's ways that anyone could break a noise ordinance, but
yeah,
the way the building's built, it's not built.
And then we get fined or we get in trouble if that rare.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be conditions on the resolution of approval,
yeah,
in general. And again, your narrative will set that. Like, we've approved in many places, like special events laws, weddings, outdoor events.
Yeah.
And it's no, you know, acoustical music only, maybe, or only at certain times. So those types of conditions. If Paul doesn't have enough solace that your study says you can blast whatever you want and it's not going to bother our soul,
mm-hmm,
then we can work and talk and discuss at those conditions maybe at the next meeting.
Okay.
You can drive a Ferrari, but you're just telling us you're going to go 55 miles an hour.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
That's right. And if I...
There's a state trooper who's going to give me a ticket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that state trooper with you, but yeah.
Yeah.
See, for my money, I want our guy,
yes,
to tell us that your study is valid.
Totally, totally get that. And I think we're all on the same page. I just want to make
absolutely
sure that the conclusions we're drawing don't stretch out. It sounds like we're all saying the same thing, so it's great.
You're absolutely correct. And to add to the conversation, so to speak, just because you've done everything right, I've concurred with your analysis, the board agrees, that doesn't mean people won't necessarily complain. But just so that I've said that out loud, because it's going
to
happen.
Hence our eagerness to get to the public hearing, because we want to address, you know, the average citizen's concerns too, to the extent we can, and that's within reason. And
you'll get the opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for
understanding. Yeah, no, I want to clear it up for me as well.
Yeah.
Because as long as we have an analysis and a study that we can refer to, that's how we got to our decision.
Yes.
And I strongly urge you to read, it was within the last month, what happened at the Barcelona. In Barcelona, they converted a sports stadium to a music venue in a situation that's not far from this. It's just a much bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there are residential buildings all around it. They met all the laws, and the neighbors went berserk, and it actually affected a Taylor Swift concert, and because they closed it down. We don't want that to happen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have a situation where we've got very close neighbors, and we just have to figure it out. Read that article. It's quite
okay.
Can I text him directly if I get the link for it?
Okay with me.
Okay. It's just the article.
And frankly, our acoustician who did the study said he was doing the same thing for a similar story to that, I think, in Wisconsin. I'll find out where. But it was an open air stadium, so I wonder if that has something to do with it. Understood.
If this is in quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want that.
Right.
We'd be ecstatic if Taylor Swift came and played.
I want you guys to be successful.
We're not there yet.
Are there any other concerns we need to address right now, or are we good to go till February?
I think we're good. I just wanted to bring up, you know, our process of public hearing. A lot of times we don't define it ahead of time. And a lot of times we're very informal here. People come and they talk and they peanut gallery, and then
mm-hmm.
you start to address them, and then the board. I think with this one, we should have a goal to be a more formal public hearing, where people stand up, they say, I think your traffic's bad, I think it's the best thing in the world, I think it's this. Go all the way through everybody who wants to talk, and then have you address it to the board afterwards. Because as Brandy knows, we've had some heavy duty projects here, and it can degrade quickly into a he said, she said, you're wrong, you're right, da 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 thing. So I think if we cross our T's and dot our I's like that, it keeps the public happier,
Plus you're not answering the same question
52 times.
Yep. We were here for some of this, so we saw the we saw how it kind of went.
Yeah. Then you get some guy in the corner that's yelling at some guy that's trying to make a point. Next thing you know, they're talking to each other instead of talking to us. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we need to set like a time limit to speak or anything like that. No.
We get the sense people are pretty happy. Like, people are supportive in town, but everyone, I'm sure, has the same concerns too. So, yeah.
I sent Brandy a picture when that was actually a business. Back in, it must have been in the 50s or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, any of those relations or friends of friends or...
I knew a lot of them.
This is when it was a paper mill?
No,
it was Mr. E's. I think they did some kind of appliances and different things like that.
No, they did clothing.
It looked like they had clothing in front of them.
Did he?
I think so.
What? Louis Craver worked there? Catherine Moore?
I think both my grandparents at one point did.
Nice.
I know my grandfather had a red shirt, and he always wore on Christmas Eve that was a mystery shirt.
There's like a doorway there.
And it was 50 years old at that point. That was 30 years ago.
That's the fire door. Cool. That's you like had that picture in your house or?
No, somebody posted that on one of the film op boards and asked, does anybody know any of these people besides?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Everybody knew Louis Craver and a couple of the other ones.
Wow. Cool.
And you'd have somebody go, oh yeah, that's my grandmother in the, so yeah, it was kind of cool.
That is cool.
My aunt worked there.
Yeah.
I had no idea what she did. Aunt Mark. All right, so we're all set then?
Okay.
No.
I got another question.
Go ahead.
I want to bring this up now rather than hit you with another one. We had very little discussion. Water and sewer.
Yes.
What is the status of the water and sewage as it is right now? Is it ample?
Well, so when you say ample, so the building has a connection for both water and for sewer. So there's the pipe for both.
That's existing.
Correct.
I know, but is it going to be enough?
As far as the amount of water that the use will use, we've been pretty conservative in saying 4,675 gallons per day maximum for the larger events. We've talked with Cliff down at the plant. There's plenty of capacity there at the plant. The mayor confirmed that to us last week. We asked again.
Yes, he did.
And then with regard to water, plenty of capacity in the water storage tank and plenty of pressure, which is the other thing that's important. You want to have enough pressure, but as you know, the tower is up the hill there on Summit Street. So it's our understanding that yes, 4,600 gallons per day is not a tremendous amount of water, and the village's system is.
We're not talking about the village is going to have to build another water line.
No, not at all.
And sewer.
No, sir, no.
Because I've had recent sewer problems with a so-called new system that isn't new.
Okay. Are you on a septic?
No.
You're on sewer?
Sewer. It is not what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So I just want to make the engineer aware of maybe you can find out any details. Because another thing, we haven't, don't know what's going on with the buildings, the new houses across from the lake. We have no approvals or anything like that on that. We don't know how much water and sewer that's going to.
We're staying.
I know. It's not going to affect you because it's obvious you're going to be going before they are. I just want to make sure that everything's good there.
Yeah. We did have a neighbor, John and Sally, asked if their pressure, water pressure, would be affected by our project.
No. The amount of water that, hold on. 4,675 gallons per day it seems like a lot, but it really isn't.
That's an estimated maximum. You're not going to be running.
Right. Which, that works out to about 3 gallons a minute per day, and we would say like 4 times that for like like 12 gallons a minute for, you know, if the food service was maybe doing cooking and washing at the same time, or, you know, everybody was flushing the toilets all together or something like that. It's not a ton of water. It's a relatively small amount of water.
With the cost of water and sewer and foam off, we're going to go low flow across the board, the smallest amount you can possibly get from a faucet, because we know the cost of this village.
We also are not planning on operating a restaurant out of the village.
As you mentioned,
I think the rumor, people are always asking me about that, so as you talk to people, I think there's some hope, but also some concern about that. That is not...
But you're going to have it for events?
We have
it's going to be a pop-up from time to time, but it's not going to be a regular.
Would it be helpful for you to have the information about the village's capacity at the plant and the water?
I think it'd be helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll
just
so you've got it in context, and we can show it as, like, we're this percentage of the full capacity.
Yeah, I think the village water is, what, 186,000 gallons per day?
I don't know off the
yes.
top of my head.
Sure. Something like that.
Have,
so 4,000 in the scope of 190,000. To keep the water line on the Taconic open.
But to address your comment, should somebody ask you that, it's okay to say, yes, it you will be affected minorly. Because saying, oh, no, you won't be affected is just looking for a poke in the eye.
On the highways in front of there, is there going to be any kind of crosswalks painted in the road and things?
We have signage we're adding. I don't know if you're showing structure.
We are, And Mr. McCurry has all of that proposed pedestrian improvement. That was from like two meetings ago.
All right, and you understand that the village has no responsibility for extra security or any of that stuff?
Yeah. Correct.
This is all on you?
Yes. Unless you want to bounce your job there too.
I'm getting closer to retirement.
I will ask a question of the board, and it obviously has some impact on the applicant. There are certain defined uses for the new building. In the future, should uses change, will there be a requirement for the applicant to return to the board for those types of changes?
Yes. They say after 2 years of operation they want to put in a restaurant.
Yeah.
If anything in the use table changes, then sure you're under review.
Yes,
you
do.
I just wanted to make sure that was kind of said out loud.
Good question. Yeah, any change would have to come back.
And I had talked with the chairman. You're kind of putting a self-imposed attendee limitation based upon the parking you have available.
Mm-hmm.
And we had discussed that in the resolution of approval when we get there. We would put in, as long as you have the parking, you can have this many attendees. Should you lose the parking, decrease parking, change parking, that can affect your operations as the number of attendees.
Yep.
As a condition on consent of your approval.
And I think the one thing around that we're striving for 400 and some odd numbers. So hopefully we can approve the top end, that we still have to prove we have the parking.
For that. Yeah, I didn't think Brandy had done 3 person per car in the number of spots and got you there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just we don't want to get to a point. Someone will say later on, oh, they had an event and they had 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
And we're not, Bob and I aren't going up there with clickers and counting people. So it's just, yeah.
If we're super successful, I think there's going to be 1 or 2 times a year we might ask for a special permit. If it's like an art fair or something and we're on a whole day exceeding that amount.
That's the exact thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, or special parking at the,
surprise no one.
Exactly. If we piss everyone off, you won't give us a special permit anyway, so it's our incentive to not annoy anybody.
Well, if you screw up on the parking, you're going to face Judy. She's going to retire, she has nothing else to do.
That's right. Great.
Can I just bring up one more specific? Any
of
chance
course.
Of getting a sidewalk on the west side of the street? Because right now you're going to have pedestrians crossing the street twice unnecessarily. They're going to see the building and they're going to probably want to stay on that side of the street anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a much better safe.
I would say no, there's probably no chance of that. And the main reason is because the east side of the building is the property line, is the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right there. There's just.
I'm not talking about there. I'm talking about the pedestrians walking from the west parking lot to the building, so that the wall doesn't,
between here and the building? I thought you were talking from
the west parking, so the Canal Street parking
the
lot,
village's
the pedestrian walking from there to the building. If you put a sidewalk on the west side, you keep those pedestrians from having to cross the street twice in a place where there's going to be, your turn, there's 30% more traffic there once this goes in. It just seems like it's a very easy solution to keep the pedestrians safe.
Yeah, we don't have any control over that.
Yeah, that's private property.
That's private property.
Yeah. Not a right of way?
No.
So the sidewalk, all the sidewalks that went in are all on private property?
No, wherever the sidewalks are, they're on your property.
It's a six figure.
Otherwise, yeah, their grandfather in it, so.
Where they aren't, it's private property.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had noted in our pedestrian analysis some deficiencies in sidewalk. My experience, and Philmont is, you know, well experienced in grants, is that the state will make grants available for things like sidewalk improvements, especially when you've got an economic catalyst. And so I think it would be a great opportunity for a partnership to seek out some grant funds for something like that. It's something you would think of, like, you know, long term, you know, maybe other sidewalk improvements, because we noted that some of the sidewalks don't have handicap ramps either, but we can't be responsible for upgrading all the village's infrastructure.
Well, I think grant writing is a little bit of a sore subject now, right, Deborah?
Well, I'm still bringing in the sidewalk.
All right, any other questions? All right, so it looks like we're good until February. You guys get together and get it done so we can progress. It's been long enough.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, I need a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Well, if you have
a motion,
you can
adjourn.
Just a minute.
All right. Well, we're done.
Good
night, Philmont.